The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It's the 16th of May here in 2019. 7:05 in the morning, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Hey, Ashley's on her way to a birthday party for her grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to keep doing those as long as you can. Absolutely. And I'm here with Trish Clark.
Good morning. I love Thursday mornings.
Oh, you know what? We love having you here. What's you know what? I'm totally taken aback by the weather this morning.
Wow, it's 58 degrees and we're only expecting a high today of 56. But I don't think that's going to be true because the sun is shining out there.
What's going on? It's supposed to be rain.
Oh, I know it is, but it says here on my sheet that it's going to have showers all day and then a chance of showers this evening. On high tomorrow, 67, a low of 53. Saturday, high of 59, a low of 51, and showers and chance of rain throughout that whole period. On Saturday night, a low of 55, and on Sunday, a high of 68 and a low of 49. Showers likely throughout that entire period, possibly some thunderstorms. But you know what? The sun is shining out there, so they may not be right.
I don't think they're right. Well, I'd tell you, they were right last night.
They were.
Oh, I was there.
The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Well, you know, we went to the Extreme Bowls last night.
Bless your heart, because it was really raining.
Didn't have to stand in line. Didn't have to fight for seats. In fact, I think we were the only ones out in Rodeo Flats. You know, I'm not saying it was horrendous. I'm not saying it was horrendous rain. It wasn't, but it was a steady blowing rain.
Yes.
But you know what? Nobody stops. Well, some of the bull riders stopped abruptly.
but not because of the rain.
But I tell you what, if you want to be a bull rider, you need to have watched last night. I don't know if anybody wants to be a bull rider, but if you do, you needed to watch what happened last night to some of these guys. They had one, he got thrown down coming out of the chutes. The bull danced all over him, turned around, hooked the clown, moved him around a little bit, and then went and then sauntered over and hit the barrel and rolled it clear across the arena. Nobody was in the barrel. He just kept hitting it, bouncing it. And then he satisfied with what he did. He kind of just trotted on off the field. I've beaten everybody. And that wasn't the only time. They had a couple of, they had some really, really, I would say, precocious bulls out there. So, but everybody had a good time. There were a lot of people, you know, considering what kind of weather it was. People were bringing like condos out there. They had, overhead structure and everything else. So they were, it was a great time. It was a great time.
Yeah. So. You can keep dry. Umbrella, something.
Linda looked like, you know, she took all of her Squirrel War gear, and she had a face mask on and everything, but she's singing tonight at Wind River, and so she didn't want to risk that. So we stayed until we were just soaked and then left. Instead of being soaked, I mean, my hands were puckered. That's how much rain.
Well, and we have to remind everybody to Wind River every Thursday night during May. Linda's singing out there, and just got to go because it's just a great performance.
It is a great time. You know, speaking of something that's great, we have with us the United States Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard, and the staff NCOIC of the group is Staff Sergeant Esteban Aldagi. I'm not even close, right? Okay, tell me again.
It's howdy, sir. Staff Sergeant Esteban Howdigi.
Howdigi.
Howdigi. Oh, I missed the first part. I've got my ears on now, so I think I'm hearing better. Okay, well, good morning and welcome back. This is not your first time
here. No, sir. Thank you for having us back. This is my second year being here.
And this is, and now, Gordo, how many years is this now?
Eight.
This is their eighth year that we've had the United States Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard. So, Staff Sergeant, tell us a little bit about the Mounted Color Guard.
So the Mounted Color Guard, we're the last remaining Mounted Color Guard in the Marine Corps. There's only two units that use horses in the Marine Corps, us and the Mountain Warfare Training Center up at Bridgeport. We're a ceremonial unit in nature. We travel across the country. We do the Rose Parade every year. We do parades here in Reading. We do the rodeo. We do Houston Rodeo, Reading Rodeo. We're going to go to Elizabeth. Caldwell will be in Montana this year, so we travel quite a bit. We do.
You're on the road most of the time, aren't you?
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. What's the history of the Mounted Color Guard?
So the history of this unit, this Color Guard, was started back in 1967 in Barstow, California, and it was a completely volunteer Color Guard at first. There used to be a lot more Marines at Barstow at the logistics base there, mm-hmm. so they were able to not do their primary job and go ride horses in the morning or after work and then go on the road just like we do. And now this is a billeted assignment. Marines come here for this purpose alone. They're assigned to the Mounted Color Guard.
There was a Mounted Color Guard there at Pendleton, too.
There was, yes.
And you're right. It was duty that was voluntary. So after the training, they come down there taking care of the horses and would go, you know, to parades, different things also. But that one, I don't even know when that one went away.
That was quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it went away. Okay. But you've got with you. So people are selected for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know every one of them is selected because they've had this long background in horseback riding, roping and all these things. Is that right?
No, that's actually not. So Marines are selected coming here when we can. It's for the most part. It helps out a lot. But we don't really – there's a few people that come here that don't have any horse experience at all. So they learn when they get here, and then they become very proficient riders. Most of the riders here have a little bit of horseback experience or quite a bit, and we've been able to capitalize on that. But the ones that haven't been on a horse or weren't on a horse before they came here got really, really proficient at riding very quickly.
I guess you have to.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to fall off in front of like 10,000 people.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. And now, as far as rain goes, I think it was, 3 years ago? Maybe before you, before any of this team. It was about 3 years ago when Gordo, that rain hit. It was one night of the rodeo. And that night it poured, not like last night. I mean, it poured. And the Color Guard came out that night, and it was probably the very best rendition that I've seen in 8 years, because they those horses just welded themselves together. They did not want to be out there, and they did not want to be away from the herd. So, I mean, they were like shoulder to shoulder, and they did everything just perfectly, and everybody, you know. And then about 10 minutes after that was over, the skies kind of cleared. But during that 30 minutes that everything was going on, there was puddles of water out there. So
it's such an impressive thing to watch in the stands. It makes tears come to your eyes and you well up, and it's just impressive. I'm a great flag waver and all that stuff with the American tradition, and just makes me happy to watch it every time.
And you know, we're going to take a early break here, but this portion of the show is so we can get everybody in here and talk to them. This portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number, and your chance to sleep better than any time in your life. It's highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses rated by J.D. Power. Trish, you've got a Sleep Number mattress.
I do, and my Sleep Number is 55. It's just comfortable, and if you just get a little stiff or something, then you can raise or lower that, and it's just everybody's
well, you know, marriage
great.
Is, marriage is compromise.
Yes.
And
you have to compromise.
So you have
bed,
to compromise,
though.
But you don't have to compromise on your bed, on your bed firmness. No, because Linda's Sleep Number setting is 44, and my Sleep Number setting is 65, and we don't even worry about it. Elk Killer moves from side to side depending on
how he feels.
Right now, though, because it's Memorial Day, and they're having a Memorial Day sale, and you can save $1,000 on a new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed with temperature balancing comfort at an exceptional price. But you have to head on down to the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. Go on down there, tell them Carl and Linda sent you, and Trish. Let them figure it out. And just lay down one of the beds. Give them a chance to show you how great this bed is. We'll be right back with the United States Marine Mounted Color Guard right after these messages. 7:15 in the morning, and it is 52 degrees.
strings are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling rawhide.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Join us for our 26-year anniversary celebration. Our top-notch anniversary tribute series will keep you entertained with live music on Thursday and Friday nights inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. A tribute for everyone, from rock and roll classics to soul and today's pop charts. Don't miss these amazing performances. Get your tickets at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets 50 each or a table of 10 for $130. Come out and sing and dance along with your favorite tribute band at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. See the next best thing to your favorite artists in an intimate setting. For a complete lineup of our anniversary concert tribute series, visit WindRiver.com. Or download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
One thing you should always find, you got to saddle up your boys, you got to draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's right here. Downtown Reading, the epicenter of change down
getting
here.
Getting ready for the breakfast tomorrow morning.
That's it. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. John and Sarah started this company about 9 years ago now, and have been a huge success. Any type of long gun or pistol you're looking for, they've got it. And not only that, but their customer service is better than any other place in town. They know what they're talking about, and all their people who have been with them many years know what they're talking about. Veterans get discounts at Bastiani Arms. It's the only place I buy guns at is Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Give them a call, 222-8222, open Tuesday through Saturday. I'm here with the United States Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard, and with this is Sergeant Emily Rowe. Good morning, Sergeant.
Good morning.
Sergeant Rowe, how long have you been with us? With the Guard?
I've been with the Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard a little over a year, year and a few months.
Great Falls, Montana?
Of course.
Uh-huh. Now, you were just awarded that you earned NCO of the Year at Barstow.
Yes, I was. It's an honor.
Non-commissioned Officer of the Year. Well, you have to earn that, too.
But you have to do your job, and you have to lead Marines. After that, it's how people see it and how they look at you.
Whoa. So you've got, what, another year there?
Yes, at least a year.
At least a year. So are you planning on making horses your life, or are you going to take another tour someplace else?
Oh, horses are always a part of my life, but I won't stay with the Color Guard that much longer. After this, I'll get out of the Marine Corps.
Okay. So what are you thinking about?
Joining the Forest Service.
The Forest Service?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's cool. Up in Montana?
Montana would be ideal. California actually has an internship that I'd like to do, but ideally I would like to end up in Montana or Maine.
What are you taking away then from your time here on the Guard, Color Guard?
Learning leadership principles and instilling some more patience, but the experience, the people you meet, horsemanship training that I never would have learned if I didn't separate myself from the people that I was always learning horse stuff about. But our trainer, Terry Holiday, really puts a lot of stuff into perspective, so I have a broader spectrum of everything to do with horsemanship now.
Now, you get your horses from they're all BLM Mustangs, is that correct?
9 out of 12 of them are BLM Mustangs, yes. We do have a few quarter horses.
All right, and they're all Palominos.
You could say that.
They're kind of Palomino, and some mainly Palomino.
Yes.
They're kind of like America, the melting pot. The Palomino's melting pot. So, now, you just don't take them straight off the range. I understand they go to the prison. And is that true? They go to one of the prisons up there that works with the horses?
Yeah, the 9 Mustangs that we have right now all came from the Carson City Prison Prisoner Rehabilitation Program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's historically where we've gotten all our horses from.
Right. And do you all choose the horses? I mean, does the Marine Corps choose the horses out on the BLM land? Because they have roundups and they have the adoptions. Mm-hmm. Or do you take them after they've already been chosen by somebody else?
So it's after the horse has been gathered, then mm-hmm. we usually try to contact the different BLM offices about what kind of horses they have. And if they have any Palominos, we ask if they hold on to them, and then we go look at them.
Okay.
We're actually in the process right now of adopting one from the Litchfield offices. We're going to go up next week and take a look at him to see if he's going to fit the team or not.
Okay.
And if he does, then we'll adopt him. If he doesn't, then we'll keep looking.
And if once they're adopted, then they go to Colorado? Is that the
Carson City?
I'm sorry.
Nevada. Historically, we've done that. We're going to try it differently this year. We're just going to take the horse back down and try it from day one.
Okay.
See how that works out.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
A little bit of a challenge.
Now, and then Mr. Holiday, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he does the finishing work then. Is that correct?
He does. Well, he's our all-around wrangler mm-hmm. for the team. So he does everything from day one starting a horse to finishing, and day one starting teaching Marines to making sure they're ready to perform as well.
Okay.
Well, there's an entire process of training a wild horse to where one of you guys want to get on it, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? Horses are horses. So, Staff Sergeant Rowe, what's the worst?
The worst?
Yeah.
The worst kind of horse?
No, not the worst kind of horse. But I know I've participated in parades and things where we were competing against a British, equestrian team when it came to we were doing tent pegging. So we had to, all the horses had to be standing there for a while. Of course, these horses that do tent pegging are not types that just stand there. So do you ever have days that when you're on there, you're just, saying to yourself, I think I'd better be back in Iraq.
Well, I can't personally say that, okay. But sometimes I'd rather be doing something than stage for an hour prior to an event. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. We also have Sergeant Davis was here last year. Come on in, Sergeant Davis.
Good morning.
Where are you from?
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
What else is Lynchburg, Virginia famous for besides you?
It's a pretty small town, sir.
Isn't that on the way to Jack, Jack Daniels is down there someplace?
That's Tennessee, sir. Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Oh, Lynchburg, Tennessee. God, how could I do that?
That's on the whiskey train. Yeah.
Oh,
whiskey.
My gosh. Well, no wonder you still, you know, you've got all your senses and everything. How long you been in?
The Marine Corps, almost 5 years now. On the team, 2 years.
2 years. So is this your last year at the on the team? Or
yes, sir.
You get to extend, Staff Sergeant?
No, unfortunately. Marines
everybody
don't get
just
to extend. You do your time and then you move on.
Yeah, I guess probably at that time you're ready. At the end of the 3 years. So what's your takeaway from this after 2 years?
I would say the big thing is the traveling, new places you see, the new people you meet, and, of course, all the horsemanship skills you've learned during on the way. So I was one of the ones that didn't know anything about horses before I came. So
I remember you saying that last year. So are horses going to be part of your life when you get out, you think, or is that you've had enough?
Well, I plan on staying in the Marine Corps, so I probably, well, my time in the Marine Corps, I probably won't own any horses. I don't see myself owning any,
yeah,
personally.
Well, if you're going to stay in the Marines, it's tough. Yeah. I had a couple of horses, but, you know, it just, I had to sell them.
All right.
Because I was just gone, and I thought I'd be coming back, but, they never, the Marine Corps has such a strange sense of humor, right, you know, on things, as we all know.
Yeah.
What do you think about readiness? This is, you were there last year, and you're back again this year, and this is the eighth year that the Marines have come back here.
Yeah. I'm excited to be back. Looking forward to the rodeo. Should be a good time.
I think it's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like to do after after rodeo's over? Do you go back to your, do y'all go back to your room and have prayer meetings?
Usually, take
care. Oh, maybe they do now. It's been a while since I've been in the Marines.
You know,
okay,
better.
You know. I mean, we didn't, but.
No, put the horses away, make sure they're taken care of, fed. Usually grab us something to eat and hang out for the night.
You're always on stage, aren't you, Staff Sergeant? You guys are always on stage.
We are, yeah.
Because if anything happens, I mean.
Everybody
hears about it, right. Okay, Sergeant Davis, thanks so much for joining with us.
Thank you.
Let me see. Sergeant Smith, come on over here. It's your turn in the barrel, as we say. Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, this is Sergeant Jordan Smith, and you're from Bennington, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you've been around horses?
I had a little horse experience before I came out to the team, not a whole lot.
What's your MOS?
I'm a 3531 motor T operator.
So okay.
Drive trucks.
So now you're driving a horse.
Yeah, so I went from 7 tons Humvees to duallys with a horse trailer.
Duallys. So are you? So you're driving. You drive the truck now.
Yeah. So the whole team rotates while we're on the road, so everybody stays fresh and everybody stays safe while we're on the road. So the whole team will rotate through driving to where we're going.
So what do you like best about this?
Honestly, the experience and the people you get to meet. There's not a whole lot of things in this world that you get to travel the whole country and meet people. Just grateful for what you do every day. So it's really
that they're grateful for what you do.
Correct.
Every day.
Correct.
That's cool. That's true.
Nice.
That's true. And so people probably teach you all pretty well, I hope.
They do.
Out there. I imagine there's a couple that don't. Just send their names to Florida. Get their names. Take a photo of them. Send them to us. We have a bunch of old guys. They have nothing to lose. Okay. All right. Thanks, Sergeant Smith. Let me see. Sergeant Wolfbrandt. Okay. This is a California boy here. And from Volcano, California. That could be anywhere in California, by the way.
No, that's in Amador County, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's just down the road in Amador County.
Okay. So how did you get into the... how'd you get on the Mounted Color Guard?
So I actually spoke with my monitor a few months ago. The monitor is the Marine that actually cuts you orders and sends you to different units. And he told me it's time for me to go, to a different unit, offered me up a spot on the Mounted Color Guard, and I graciously accepted.
Who were you with before?
I was with 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines before I came
7th
here.
Marines, huh?
Yes.
7th Marines guy. Oh, I knew there was something about you. That was great. 2-7. No. Anyway, of course, 7th Marines are out in 29 Palms now. Yep. We used to be on board Camp Pendleton. We were the furthest regiment away from the headquarters, and there was a reason for that. We were way out there at San Mateo.
Yeah.
Nobody ever came out and saw us, which is probably a good thing. Okay, so you were what's your MOS?
I'm an 0311, which is a rifleman.
Okay, so you knew what the Mounted Color Guard was.
That's correct. I did from the social media, and then a couple other senior sergeants that I knew passed in my career that knew about the Mounted Color Guard. That's how I found out about it.
Are you thinking about making a career, or is this...
To be honest, sir, I'm not.
Well, it's okay. You know what? People, when they look at me, because, I mean, I spent a long time in the Marine Corps, enlisted in as an officer. But you know what? Marines that come in and they do, you know, 3 years, 4 years, it used to be 2 years. You know what? You did your part. And as long as you're a good Marine, that's great. I mean, you're always going to have it with you. And there's always a group of people out there that appreciate it. So, how many rides have you been on so far? How many events?
Well, this is my first big event that I've been to. I just got to the unit about a month and a half ago.
Oh, okay, that's so. Right.
This is
okay.
Your first ride. A good place to start.
Correct. I think it's this is probably one of the best places that I could have my first event at. Coming up here to Reading feels like going home. Pretty much. So
you're gonna be able to. I guess it's going to be tough for you to get home, though, for a day, or not.
Oh, no, I don't really plan on it, because Emmett County is probably 3 or 4 hours down the road. But
3 hours and 20 minutes.
Exactly.
My son lives in Jackson.
Who's driving? I mean, oh, I guess they're pretty much, you know, you're pretty much locked in. You can't do anything like little trips off to the side.
No, not
horse
so much.
Trainings are pretty visible.
Yeah, our trips are.
Where'd you come from? Were you coming up out of Barstow, or were you coming from someplace else?
We actually came from Ontario, California.
Okay.
Yesterday morning, we did opening ceremonies for, it's called Run for the Wall. It's a big bike ride. They start off in Ontario and a couple other spots, and, you know, it's like 50,000 motorcycles take off across the country and end at the Vietnam Memorial. They're in Washington, D.C. for Memorial Day.
And this may be the last one they're doing, I've heard. They're looking at because of the problems they're having with bureaucracies back in D.C. I hope it's not, because it's a great run.
Yeah.
When you see that many, and everybody thumbs their nose at the helmet law in D.C., you know, when they're down there. I can't imagine that. Okay, we have one more Marine in here, Corporal Hector Arenas. Did I pronounce that semi-right?
Good morning. Yes, you did.
Kinda. Sit down. Tell us about you, Corporal.
So, you know, I've been in about 3 years now, a little bit over, and I'm just here to help the Mounted Color Guard.
Right. You're just one of the, you're there, but you get a chance. You must be pre-squared away, or they would not, ask you to come along.
I just volunteered. They were looking for a person, so, you know, I volunteered to do it.
You're supposed to say, yes, sir, I'm really, yes, sir, I'm really squared away. That's why I'm here. And, you know, but you know, this Marines are like that, you know. I was there, you know. I was the only one that wasn't in the brig from my unit. So how do you like this? Is this your first one?
I've been on a few. It's really cool. I get to be like at different places. So, this is like my first time in Reading. I've always just drove through here, but I've never actually stopped.
Well, you know, that's a lot of people.
Especially in the middle of the summer, because it's just too hot to get out of the car.
There's 112 here. It's only like that for, what, a month? 3 weeks, something like that.
Then you get used to it.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Corporal.
Thank you.
You know, Staff Sergeant, you all are so much. I want you all to know how much you appreciate it coming here. That's one of the first things that's asked. And I know that, I'm not sure, I guess it was somebody called me. Because we got behind the eight ball on that one, and somebody called me and said, "Are you going to, you know, are we still on the ball to come up here?" Oh, yes. So.
It would be that would be terrible if they weren't part of the rodeo.
No,
you look
leave.
Forward to every year.
Mm-hmm. It is
the highlight.
You are the epitome of a squared away unit, and you so much, all of you so much represent. The best about the Marine Corps. Hmm. And there's, gosh, you know, we could go on forever about the Marine Corps, but you all come up here, you do your job so well. You're out in town, you're visiting the veterans' home, you're going to one of the high schools, maybe. I go to one of the high schools, you know, get with the recruiters, people getting photos taken with you, and you're going to be tomorrow at the Pancake Breakfast. So if you all want to meet the United States Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard, come on down to the Pancake Breakfast in Roaring Gulch. With 10,000 of your closest friends.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us down.
Everybody you know is there.
Yeah.
You guys will be doing a live remote?
We'll be on a remote down there, so we'll probably have a couple of you on tomorrow. So just when you see us over there, same spot as we've been for 8 years, and just come on over. But thanks again, and thanks for everything you do for our country.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having us back again.
Great,
we love coming to Reading.
Great
really
having
do.
All of you here.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages.
grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways.
This morning drive time is brought to you by Eagle Eye Painting, our painter of choice. For more information, go to danscottpainting.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shoe, riding my pony on a cattle guide.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Wow. You know what? An impressive group of young men and women.
Oh, you know, it's incredible to watch that almost perfection in how they behave and the way they carry themselves and that people in uniform. It's just very impressive.
Well, you know what? They know they're representing the Marine Corps.
There's,
and all over the United States.
Exactly.
So, you know, our first group coming through here 8 years ago, a little more rowdy. They were professional. They were a little rowdy. And not that there was ever a problem, except one of them was accosted. And you remember that place, Cat House? Not, what was it? Johnny's.
Johnny's.
Was
the name of it, yeah.
One got accosted in there.
Well, and that was a tough place.
Yeah, it was. One of them, I mean, just turned him around, was ready, and, you know, it lasted like 2 seconds. Marine just, you know. Yeah, well, the guy was trying to hit him. Marine defended himself. It was over.
Yeah, Johnny's had a bad reputation. Yeah. In fact, we had, actually, that I think that was where the accident occurred, where the young man was killed.
No, that was a different place.
Wasn't that at Johnny's?
No. Johnny's got in trouble because of some of their people, not the owners, but some of their people that were there, from what I understand, had drug problems. And then that leads to ABC getting in there, and they, you know, so they're, anyway, that's what I heard. I mean, that's what the, you know, the people were saying. But let's go to the phone. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, hey. Carl, I just wanted to talk about what I found out. Maybe you already know about it. My nephew's sister is a architect. And you know the parking lot? I think it's the one that's to the west of the mall.
Right, the parking structure.
They're going to tear it all down.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a plan when they're going to put in those new buildings there. They're supposed to have part of a parking structure. They're going to put, not part, but they're going to put a parking structure up, but it's not going to be the size of it. So then the next question you have to ask yourself is, well, where are people going to park downtown with all the new things that are going on?
Well, I thought that my nephew told me that the architects are drawing it up for parking underground.
Oh, well, you know, that could be part of it. You know what? And it's probably more cost effective to do something like that where you have a larger, you know, larger place underground, because if you're trying to put steel up, mm-hmm. each one of those individual spots costs something like $5,000 to build, you know, because of the structure. I mean, I could be wrong. I know it, but it was some kind of exorbitant cost.
They didn't make as big an issue out of the parking as they have in the past every time you wanted to build something, and people were kind of surprised by that because, as you indicate, they are building so many things and trying to enhance so much going on downtown, and yet this is a major amount of parking that they're getting rid of, and I haven't clearly seen any clear plans to replace it. I hope that that's true.
No,
that they're
Well, I understand they're going underground. They're going to build it underground because, like, they even go to the theater there. You know, I mean, there's nowhere to park.
Yeah.
So you have to park in that big parking lot, you know, and walk over to go into the theater. You know, and so it's going to be underground, from what I understand. Maybe build something on top of it. I don't know. That could be.
It's going to be interesting to see what these plans are because, like you just said, you know, that parking is a problem. It can be a problem around town anyway. So if you take away, I don't know how many spots that are, what would you say, 500 spots down there?
Oh, I think at least.
At least 500 spots. So are they going to have other spots out, you know, away from this general area so people are going to be parking and walking into town? And I don't know what kind of problem that can could lead to.
One of the things that happens, as you know, is there's a lot of businesses downtown, a lot of banks, different things that are only open during the day. So the night parking, like for the theater, people park in all of those.
All the banks, all of the places
where they're downtown, daytime businesses.
And
not weekend.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, like you said, and so you've got those businesses open. But those are probably, if you look at it, maybe a couple hundred spots. So,
right.
and then the spots along the street. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do. I can't wait to see what the plans are. Because I've heard that these new buildings, I'm hearing thoughts about a theater. Not the Cascade, that's always there, but like a movie theater coming downtown again.
Mm. Right, yeah. Can I add one more thing while I'm talking to you?
Sure.
Okay, I noticed in my wife picks up the Chronicle every now and then, you know, the San Francisco one.
Yeah.
And, on Tuesday, they were saying that they were celebrating on Wednesday, which was yesterday, the celebration of 50 years of People's Park. And I thought they were going to have a revolution down there because, you know, in Berkeley.
Right.
This went on 1969.
Wow.
And, yeah, 1969 People's Park when they had the riot there.
Yeah.
And what it was that brought back memories because I was in the National Guard at that time, and I was there, you know, with the National Guard. And the bias stuff that came out of the Chronicle, I couldn't believe it. Because
that wasn't, you know, like that back then, huh? Well, you know what?
Not how you remembered it?
Anytime you look back at things, Steve, you know, things sometimes get better.
You know, I was 20, I'm in my 70s now, and here the stuff is in the Chronicle, and this guy brought these articles out about it. He says, I've never advertised this until now, you know, 50 years later, and he brings this photographs out about people being shot. You know, I was there. You know, they said they were called Blue Meanies, the Alameda County Sheriff's Department.
Uh-huh.
And they had light blue jumpsuits on. And all they had were billy clubs. And,
the Blue Meanies.
You know, I was in the National Guard, you know.
And yeah.
They were, you know, and at that time, Reagan was governor.
They didn't give you a bullet, though, did they?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You know, they weren't.
And the police department didn't have shotguns either.
Well,
and they said the police department was shooting these people and all this other BS. I mean, it was just so biased. You know, it was all lies.
It is.
You know, in the Chronicle.
Well, look,
so nothing's changed about the paper.
Yeah, nothing's changed about the San Francisco Chronicle. Then. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot. We got to run, buddy. Thanks for the phone call, because that is a question that it's kind of been glossed over about what are we going to do about parking down here?
Well, and the interesting part of that gloss over is when we were building the county administration building.
Yeah.
I mean, that was every day they were in our face about, you know, you're doing away with this parking and these parking places, and what are you going to do during the construction? I mean, that was a major thing that we had to deal with because they just wouldn't go away with the – and we actually ended up replacing – the parking that we took away and added more, actually, although some of it's metered. But that was a huge obstacle that we had to overcome about the parking, and we were forced to set up two or three new parking lots and all those things. And now, when they do these things, they never talk about or even seem to worry about all the parking they're taking away. Just hope they're taking it into consideration.
Yeah.
If they come back and ask the county to provide some more.
Well, they should. It's the county's problem. Hey, okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you the clues, the latest clues for the Lone Stranger and the Loot, and see who that is. But this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State, and their friends and their neighbors in this community and the surrounding communities, but just outstanding service. They've been voted best in the North State. They offer warranties, guarantees. They can work in any type of cooling and heating systems. Alliance Heating and Air, Martin and Pam have built a really solid professional business here. Give them a call at 221-2642. Learn more at their website, homecomfort.org. It's Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back after these messages with the clues from the Lone Stranger and the Loot and probably something else.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Bulls, Bronx, Barrels, and the Bandit. Throw in chuck wagon races, roping, bronc riding, barrel racing, calf roping, bulldogging, and kids mutton busting. It's another year of action-packed Reading Rodeo May 15th through the 18th. As the toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast for top prize money. Book your tickets at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office. Sponsored by Sheraton Reading, MD Imaging, Arc Design, Shasta.com, and Tugwell Roofing.
Look at Brian Dolly's record in Sacramento. Dolly voted for amnesty for 11 million illegal aliens, granting them all the rights of citizenship, even though they break our laws.
and Dolly voted against President Trump's border security plan. Brian Dolly even praises the liberal assembly speaker from Los Angeles, the leading advocate for sanctuary laws. Living in Sacramento has changed Brian Dolly. Now he's part of the problem.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Redding or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Class is against evil forces singing. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday the 16th at 7:52 in the morning. It's, gosh, let me see. Let me check what the weather looks like here. It's 52 degrees. Well, let me go pop this. And it's not supposed to get much. It's 53 now. It's not supposed to get much 56. More than 57 or 58 today.
Yeah, 56.
It's showing rain here, but it's so far it's holding off. It's kind of sunshiny with clouds.
And windy. And so, and you know, windy. The wind can
but
affect.
Tonight, the rodeo, kicking off the rodeo tonight.
And they're just calling for showers and a chance of showers tonight.
Just
a chance of showers.
You know what? There's
it
a chance
can be okay.
That it's not going to be.
That's
a bigger
right.
chance not. Head on out. You know what? You're not going to be. Like,
and
you're
bring
not
an umbrella
like
and a rain slick and it's okay.
And a towel. A towel for the.
Exactly. That's a good plan. Because then you have a place to sit.
And you know what? You're not going to be. No matter what it is tonight, it's not going to be like the Spartans that were there last night. Myself and the 300 that were there.
Well, all of us are not so brave.
This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. You know what? Specializing in home electronics, he came in, you know, years ago and put in surround sound. He put in a TV set. I mean, this is years ago, like, you know, maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And he has taken care of it ever since. You never have to call more than once. Clyde is just the original and still the best. Give him a call, 221-4144. He's at 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Now, here we are. This is the Thursday clues for the lone stranger from the bank robbery. This is the lone stranger clue. A compass or a weather vane might help spy them behind bars. Research the county and city proper. Pursue a bond between these stars. So could this be, it's not going to be the sheriff and the police chief. Could it be the city manager and Larry Lees, the county executive officer? Could it be that? Okay. Anyway, location of the loot clue. Toward Lassen's morning shadow, they stopped and had enough. played poker with the loot till dawn. They never once had to bluff. Bluff. East. So they're heading toward last one's morning shadows. As you're going east. And they said something about planes. So is it out there somewhere around?
Benton.
And it's got to be on public. It's got to be on public
Benton
property.
Airfield.
Benton Airfield. Really? No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. No.
That's in the west.
I'm not sure.
That's
yeah.
In the west.
Yeah. That's right down. Yeah. Mm. Okay. You know what? Cameron Middleton is right in these. So who knows? You know, Cameron's mind.
You know, the clues. You know what? The bad part for me is that even after I know where it's at, I go, and I still don't understand how the clues got him there.
So I'm thinking this has got something to do with a couple, maybe Larry Lees and
Or Modi, because he has city and county background.
Yeah, but this is a bond between them. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have Stephanie Bridget on here in about 6 minutes. And you heard about
follow
what happened.
Follow up on the conversation from yesterday,
which was a follow up from Tuesday. I can't wait to hear what Stephanie Bridget is going to say. Stephanie is such, you know, she's really laid back. Don't ever think that she is, you know, not an intense person, but she's, you know, she's pretty, you know.
She is very much in control.
Well,
she's got
like, I think four kids, couple of twins. Yeah. That probably calms you, you know.
not so much, Carl.
Okay, hey, last night at the Extreme Bowls, there were probably at least 300, maybe more people out there, and they came out just like you said. They had rain gear on. I saw somebody coming out, and it's like their motorcycle rain gear. I mean, they were going to be dry and warm. Linda, like I said, was covered from head to toe. I didn't bring gloves. But I was, you know, but it wouldn't have worked, you know. Anyway, I was sipping on some Pendleton.
It wasn't so cold, was it?
Except once you got wet. Once you're wet,
and the wind's blowing. Yeah.
And you could see it across the arena. You could see it coming at you, you know, because when it was getting harder, and it was like, oh, here it comes. But then it would go over you, and then it kind of like it would, you know, slow down again. So.
Yeah,
but
you can see the wind is really ripping out there now. Matt, we'll hope that
you will never get me
right out of here.
I cannot believe when I was a young man and I tried out riding bulls, it just didn't seem to me as rough, you know. But they did not bring in the first string or second string, maybe not even third string bulls, because down at the Camp Pendleton Rodeo, it was servicemen and women riding. So you know they didn't bring out the ones that were bucking at the national finals, but they were still tough. But watching those last night, they came out. This one bull had never been ridden, and that bull was the biggest bull ever. He came out. He came out of the chute in the air.
Yeah.
And when he hit and turned, that cowboy just, you know, all 150 pounds of him just went pew, like it was a slingshot.
The last couple of three times that I've seen the bull riders, I keep trying to decide whether the bulls are that much tougher and meaner. Or are our cowboys getting slapped?
Here's what it is. No, we've had John Grounding.
I know.
And John has said, you know what, this is like their 10th generation of, you know, of 10 generations or more of bucking bulls. They're bred to buck. And he says and they train them to buck. They train them by putting weights on their backs that will, you know, break loose once they start bucking. So they get the idea of, oh, yeah, if I do this, it's not on my back. And he says when they get into the chute the first time, you look at them, they're looking across the arena. They're not scared. They know what they're there for. And then you've got these cowboys. And he says, but he said this year, he said the cowboys are starting to increase their, you know, they're going to schools, their physical abilities, they're being, you know, they're taking care of their bodies and all this. And he says, so it's getting closer. But he goes, you know, like last night, 10 bulls, one rider. In the first go.
Well, and that's what I mean. You rarely see somebody actually complete the ride. And it used to be that everybody would, I mean, you'd have a bunch of them that would get a score.
But again, we had like the number two bull rider in the right now in the rodeo, mm-hmm. Bull Rodeo Association. Mm-hmm. He rode his. So it may have to do again with the level of the
training and the expertise of the ride. Anytime you're in a horse kind of a competition, it's a combination between that horse and his ride, the rider and his horse.
Okay, we got to run. Hey, I'm going to read those clues again in the next hour when we're here with the Shasta County DA, Stephanie Bridget, who is sitting here with us, ready to rock. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Trish Clark.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Dreamers, a priority for Democrats.
This plan is focused on a different part of fixing the immigration system, and we'd like for people to not reject it before they even sit down and really learn about it, and that's one of the things that seems to divide people very quickly and was left out on purpose for that reason.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, President's plan to be unveiled later today, stresses merit-based immigration and tighter border security. Another batch of Trump nominees set to be confirmed today in the Senate despite fierce opposition from Democrats.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a number of highly qualified Trump nominees have already been confirmed this week.
And today we'll consider three more of the president's abundantly qualified picks to fill vacancies in the executive branch.
First up, the nomination of Wendy Vitter,
who's been nominated to be a U.S. District Court judge for the Eastern District of Louisiana.
After Vitter's expected confirmation, votes will follow on Brian J. Bellotto's nomination to serve as Under Secretary of State and Jeffrey A. Rosen as a Deputy Attorney General. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
In what's already sparked allegations of political theater, House Democrats plan a marathon reading of the entire 448-page redacted version of the Mueller report.
So far, only Democrats are involved. They'll read in shifts beginning at noon Eastern time today. It's expected to take between 12 and 14 hours. It's the brainchild of Pennsylvania Congresswoman Mary Gay Scanlon, who denies that it's a ploy. She says it's something that needs to be done.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. The rally rolls on Wall Street this hour. Right now, the Dow is up about 258 points, a gain of 1%. The S&P ahead 35, and the NASDAQ Composite Index currently up 109 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. 2307, prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
On the run for 17 years, Spanish authorities report the arrest of a Basque separatist leader detained in the French Alps.
Spain's Interior Ministry said José Antonio Urruticoechea, alias Josu Ternera, was detained early in the morning. He was living not far from the ski resort of Chamonix in the French Alps. Reports in the Spanish media suggest he was leaving his house to get hospital treatment for a serious unspecified illness. Josu Ternera is wanted over the car bombing of a police barracks in Spain in 1987. 11 people were killed, some of them children.
The BBC's Danny Eberhardt. Sudanese opposition leaders behind the protests that drove President Omar al-Bashir from power last month are criticizing the ruling military council for suspending negotiations with their representatives. The negotiations focusing on a peaceful transfer of power to civilian rule. News and analysis at townhall.com. The pilot of a helicopter that crash-landed in the Hudson River off Manhattan the other day escaped with nothing more than a minor hand injury.
Authorities say the 34-year-old pilot had just taken off from a Manhattan helipad after refueling when he suddenly felt the aircraft drop. He was able to steer it into the water about 150 feet from the waterside helipad and then scramble onto the aircraft's inflatable pontoons. Nobody else was aboard. A dock worker trying to get out of the way of the descending aircraft slipped and injured his wrist. An investigation into the cause of the accident is underway. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Yet another Democrat has his sights set on the White House in 2020. This time it's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. He says he is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination to face off against President Trump. De Blasio made the announcement earlier today in a video posted online. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, and it's Rodeo Week here in Reading. So many things going on. Good morning, everybody. The 16th of May, 2019, 8:05 in the morning, and this news is always brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning, Trish Clark.
Good morning, Carl. It's 55 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of only 56 and a low of 50. Showers and then chance of showers, although right now it's clear and windy. On tomorrow, we're looking for a chance of showers, a high of 67. Friday night, a low of 53 and mostly cloudy. And on Saturday, a chance of rain and then rain, a high of 59. Showers Saturday night, a low of 51. On Sunday, showers and a high of 66. Sunday night, a chance of showers and a low of 49. And a chance of showers pretty much through next week. Looks like we're not going to be using our sprinklers for a few days.
I just got them turned on again. And now I've got to go back because these are, I do not have easy sprinklers.
I just finally got every one of mine to where they were actually coming on when I had them, that I thought I had them set.
Yeah.
And in fact, I had to finish that whole process yesterday. I wasn't about to give up on those sprinklers till I knew they were all coming on when they were supposed to. So I was watering in the rain. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Yeah, I was off this morning about 5:15 with Elk Killer, and I noticed that one was kind of pointing toward the brick. I went out and adjusted that one. I looked over, okay, we have to go adjust that one. So I'm wandering around out there and the sprinklers are adjusting them.
Yeah.
Just to show that they're actually hitting the grass and not someplace else. How do they get out of whack in, you know, during
the summer? Well, you know, not only that, it's so darn good.
I know mine are.
Thought I had it down to a wire, so I'm out there at 7:45 looking at the drip system that's supposed to be on the plants that are hanging. And it's watering the citrus again, and I'm like, how did that happen? I've got it set. I know I have it set.
Well, you know what? What is so hard?
Station,
I've got,
program.
I have two different sets of sprinkler things.
I have
things.
Five different
one
things
of them,
to set.
One of them, you just turn it on, and they come on. The other one, you literally have to go area by area by area, and it makes me crazy. And I'm going to, this year, this is going to be the year, I'm going to rip that whole thing out and put a one touch that you just push it and you say start. And well, then at the end of the season, off.
But you have to program it for what time it comes on and how long each
they're
station.
That's the truth. Because if they all come at one time, there's no water in your house.
There you go. Yeah, they've
okay,
got
enough of that. Okay, enough of that. Okay, now I told everybody we'd start off with the clues. The Lone Stranger clue for today. Are you ready, Jimmy? Jimmy wrote, so I missed it. Okay. A compass, this is for the Lone Stranger, a compass or a weather vane might help spy them behind bars. Research the county and city proper. Pursue a bond between these stars. See bars? So is there like police in this? Is it the city manager? Is it this in the county administrative office?
The okay. Police chief and the sheriff.
Well, no, because...
behind the bar.
The sheriff's already been in there, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I looked at him. It didn't look like the sheriff.
Go on.
Okay, this is for the loot.
Clues are hard.
Okay, I know. You were there, right? You were there.
I've done that, yeah.
You've done that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll have to talk about it sometime. Okay, here's for the loot. Okay, Jimmy, you ready? Towards Lassen's Morning Shadow. Okay, that means east. They stopped and had enough. Enough what? Play poker with the loot till dawn. They never once had to bluff.
So it's over some kind of bluff.
Is there a bluff out toward? And I got the feeling it was like in Millville, you know, or the Millville Plains, east.
No bluffs out there.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. This frustrates me. Hey, we're here with
Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney.
You know, good morning.
We're talking sprinkler systems and clues.
She says, you know, I have a lot to do today, guys. But you have one big thing you're doing. You're speaking today at a ceremony.
Yes. Today is the annual Shasta County Peace Officer Memorial Ceremony. It's held every year out in front of the courthouse. If it's raining today, it will be held in the Board of Supervisors chambers, so it's right there in that general area. So it's community-wide. We would, you know, anyone who's available, please come by.
And what time does that start?
11:45.
11:45.
Everyone, you know, you should start getting there about 11:45. The actual ceremony is going to start more like at 12 o'clock.
Okay. So, and if it's raining, which it might be, everybody just has to move into the Board of Supervisors area. So do you have to go through a metal detectors to get into the Board of Supervisors area?
No.
So, okay. I mean, in case you're carrying your keys or something like that, you're not going to have a long line where you have to take off your belt and everything. I mean, it's...
You know, that's only when you're going into the courthouse.
Don't even get me going there. Don't even get me going there. Okay. This is a big ceremony. This is where we're remembering our fallen officers.
Absolutely. We've had 16 officers in Shasta County lose their life throughout, you know, the history of our mm-hmm. community. And today's just really a good time for us to get together and remember them and honor them and just honor all fallen
officers,
you know, state, not only statewide, but nationwide.
You know, you're seeing more and more of officers being ambushed when they come to places. Some lose their lives in traffic accidents when they're in pursuit, or as we found out right here in California, that not too long ago, in California Highway Patrolman was on a traffic stop and a drunk driver crashed into him.
Right.
And there's been another one lost his life in a helicopter or a plane went down. Yeah. So, you know, doing his job. But, you know, our men and women out there, I hate almost even to say this. I don't want it to sound like such a cliche, but that thin blue line that's out there, it is thin. Mm-hmm. And a loss of one is very significant to everybody, and it should be everybody in our community. And thank God we have not lost one in a period of time. At least I don't remember losing one since I've been here over the last 12 years.
The last one that we lost was
1991.
Well, you know what? God bless us for that. And let's just continue with that.
This ceremony is one of the most impressive things that we do in Shasta County. If you haven't been out there and experienced the whole process that they go through, placing a rose on each one of the places for each one of the officers that's fallen, the runners come through. There's some very impressive speeches. It's just an incredible ceremony.
Right. It's such a good way to just remember everything that they've done for our community.
Absolutely.
And make sure we don't forget their sacrifices.
You know, a lot of times people, you know, they get wrapped around the axle on things mm-hmm. that, well, you know, they're making money. Well, yeah. And it's hard to explain to people that the feeling you get, and it's not for money, when you stack up outside a door to go in after somebody, or you're trying to protect the community, and you're coming up, and all of a sudden a gun comes up, and it's coming up. You can't explain that to people unless they've been there.
Right.
And they will never be able to understand that you can't pay people enough money for that.
Yeah.
Really? For the first responders in our community, and I think that we're in a period in our history right now, unfortunately, where there's just an awful lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of people that are mouthing off about things they don't know anything about. We need more of these kind of ceremonies to really remind people of the importance of what our first responders, our police department, our fire departments do.
Right.
And the danger that they and their families live with on a regular basis.
Right, because there's just so much criticism and second-guessing of law enforcement out there now.
And I have absolutely zero tolerance.
I completely agree. It's like they're not doing it, like you said, for the money, for the praise. Because it's in their blood, in their heart, to protect us.
You know, if you can imagine every time that your loved one leaves the house, if they're going to come back.
Right.
And I tell you, this is my family. My son's a U.S. Marshal. And he's in charge of the team that goes after the worst guys. And it's a team put together of a variety of different police departments, but, you know, he's been in a shootout in the last 3 or 4 months. They've had people injured on his crew, and my daughter handles this so well, you know, with this. So what we're doing today is at 11:45 today, be at the county courthouse. It's going to be a service honoring our fallen police and police officers and sheriffs. And Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney, is going to be the keynote speaker. So, okay.
If you aren't doing anything, stop by. You're just going to thank yourself for doing it because it's very impressive.
Right.
It is.
Okay. Hey, I want to take a quick break now. When we come back, we just all these other things we need to address that are going on. This portion of the show is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. If you haven't been out there, I tell you, you need to go to River Commons Senior Living. It's 301 Hartnell. Just call Brian at 238-5981. And just find out what it's like to be able to take a lot of the stress off your life. You don't have to cook. You don't have to worry about doing the sprinklers or why is my sprinkler not working in the whole front part, you know, between the sidewalk and the street. There's nothing. There's nothing there. Why is that? What has happened? Would somebody stolen my sprinkler system? Probably. And on that one. But, you know, you go there. They're pet friendly. You can bring your pets. You know, gourmet chefs, activities. It's like a little mini cruise ship sitting right here without the water. River Commons Senior Living. Give them a call, 238-5981. And by the way, when you guess to identify the lone strangers, after you've identified them, give them a call. You have to call 223-1188 between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., 223-1188 to make your guess. Make your guess. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. 8:16 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. We got a chance for rain today.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Bulls, Bronx, Barrels, and the Bandit. Throw in chuck wagon races, roping, bronc riding, barrel racing, calf roping, bulldogging, and kids mutton busting. It's another year of action-packed Reading Rodeo May 15th through the 18th as the toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast for top prize money. Book your tickets at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office. Sponsored by Sheraton Reading, MD Imaging, Arc Design, Shasta.com, and Tugwell Roofing.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Have you heard the latest?
Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, it's not just they're in the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. It's not that you're going to be seen in 30 minutes or less at their emergency room. They're also certified in so many different other areas. Advanced Primary Stroke Facility, Joint Commission, had said that this is one of the very best. Stroke Center offers comprehensive treatment for stroke, caring for patients affected by a stroke, beginning with immediate evaluation and screening by specialized nurses and physicians. They provide preventative care, screening of high-risk patients, and they provide high-quality care throughout hospitalization to discharge. And this is all over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. They've done so much for our community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring community and compassion. Hey, we're here with Trish Clark, and I are here with Stephanie Bridget, District Attorney of Shasta County. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. On Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, you gave a knockdown great synopsis of everything that was going on with the Navigation Center. Are you in charge of kind of putting all that together, Stephanie, or what's your position in this?
Well, the way it began is that the Navigation Center concept was being put together by the Health and Human Services Agency. As we all know, Police Chief Mike Johnson wanted to propose an alternative model that included a detention facility. Both of those items were pitched to the Board of Supervisors in April. And then the board wanted to explore both options, and particularly marrying the two together, the detention facility.
The reasoning behind that being is that with a detention center, I kind of think of it as an adult rehabilitation center, frankly, on that. They can bring 60 people in there off the streets that are having problems, chronic problems, and they can keep them in there 60 days. You know, through the judge and all that, through, you know, what you all working.
For the detention facilities?
Yeah, for the detention facilities. And then from there, that would be kind of the impetus for them to start seeking help.
Yeah, it's a transition rehabilitation facility, so mm-hmm. it would be a minimum security misdemeanor jail facility.
Yeah. But this isn't for your murderers or things
right,
like that.
Right, but it would be a traditional jail, so it wouldn't be limited to 60 days. It's custodial facility.
Okay.
We were discussing 60 beds mm-hmm. being there, and that the idea is that they would be able to start any type of programming, anything, services that they need while they're still in custody, so that they can be pretty much forced at a certain point to start that, because there's a lot of people, especially ones who are committing, some of these quality of life crimes around our community who don't want help. And maybe if they are in a custodial setting, they have time to sober up. They have time to be engaged with from our social services agencies. They might change their mind and avail themselves to it, and starting it in a custodial setting would better prepare them for that transition to the Navigation Center that was being proposed, so that they would actually avail themselves of those services and potentially change their behavior.
Rather than just have a place to sleep for 30 days and continue to live the way they want to, and not have any accountability.
Well, the problem being drugs and alcohol, which leads
mental health, which
leads to things like theft, assault, all these, you know, misdemeanors still, but still that we, our police have to go out and round these guys up and, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a month. And this is, this is a way then you, when they're there, that they can transition to getting off this and then into housing, job training, education.
Right. To hopefully get them to be productive parts of our community, which is a win-win and helps everybody.
For everybody, sure.
Instead of continually draining those resources of our peace officers, going out and contacting them in front of our businesses. It's the
same people over and over again.
Detracting business, customers from businesses. I mean, it just goes in, you know, endless effects, you know, in our parks where you can't take your kids because of, you know, you don't know if there's going to be needles or drug or alcohol bottles or what, you know. So it kind of really addresses all of those issues for sure.
So on Tuesday, after the board had kind of said, let's marry these, bring a plan back together that where we can take advantage of all of this.
So we did have a big group meeting. The board had requested that I kind of facilitate the group, that I get kind of the both sides of the group, the law enforcement side, social services side, come together. Let's start talking about this joint plan, see where we have some commonality, see where we don't, and try to go forward with one unified plan, which we did. We spoke, we had a lengthy two-hour meeting. You know, there was things that we did not agree on. We started a subcommittee to talk about the actual court process and what that would look like. They met, and this Tuesday I did go to the Board of Supervisors and provided an update and request for some clarification on everything we had been doing.
And then during that meeting, after you gave the briefing and all this, Donnell Ewart, then did he come on right after you?
Yes.
And what was his proposal was... the navigation center is off the table.
He indicated that he was unable to fund the project, that he had gone out into the community and learned not only that he couldn't fund the project, but that he also, there's a section of the community who is opposed to the project, and because of that two-part prong, that he cannot and was not seeking to continue with the navigation concept and proposed an alternative concept.
Did anybody know about this?
I did not know about this.
Well, nobody.
Did not appear.
Okay, just let me say this then. Yeah. Larry Lees didn't know about it. The county supervisors didn't know about it. You, who was kind of the facilitator of all these meetings, and you just had one the day before, and this didn't come up at all.
Well, we didn't have a meeting the day before. It was a week or so prior.
At that meeting, this new concept that Donnell came up with was not part of the discussion.
No, this was a brand new concept that he proposed, and it was a two-part
concept. And the question was asked, did Larry Lees know about it? And the statement was made he did not.
Well, yeah, and then we had, of course, the sheriff was on yesterday, and he said caught everybody by surprise. And then Les Ball called in, one of the county supervisors, had no idea this was happening. Larry Lees did not know what was happening.
Okay, and the proposal was?
So the proposal was to spend $700,000 for medical respite, and that would be at the mission, which is something that our community needs. It would be a developing 12 beds in that area so that, you know, homeless individuals who are in our emergency rooms and our hospitals that could potentially stay or do stay a lot longer than maybe the average person because they don't have anywhere to release them to, can be released into the medical respite part of the mission. And $700,000 would
This would be a secular area inside the mission.
Correct.
That they could stay for longer than 30 days or whatever.
And Shasta Community Health and Dignity Health, they would all be involved in that. And it's something that they were already, or at least Shasta Community Health and them, were in the process of developing. And so the Donnell Ewart proposed taking $700,000 of that money that he had obtained through a grant to go towards that project. I support that. The board members supported that. That was something that was voted in support of to move forward with.
On that.
Then the second proposal would be to spend the remaining funds, $984,000 approximately, to potentially purchase two homes in our community in the county and use those as housing for homeless individuals with five individuals in each home, which he referred to as mini navigation centers.
Now,
group home flashlights go off immediately.
Now, these homes would be in, I understand, would be in the neighborhoods. Is that correct?
They're residential homes.
Residential homes in neighborhoods. And close, they said, to the Good News Rescue Mission. I'd heard that, but I don't know if that was part of it or not.
That was part of a potential location that was proposed.
Now, this, Now, would they? This would be a place to take the homeless and people with problems and just put them into our neighborhoods in two separate homes, five in each one. I imagine there'd be a counselor there, or the idea being is that they take care of themselves in this, because now they've got housing, they'd have to do their own cooking, cleaning.
They would be responsible for doing all that. They would have an on-site manager. I'm not sure if it'd be a counselor, but there would be an on-site personnel who was in charge, with the idea of trying to, once they have this housing piece, trying to navigate them to the services that they need.
Okay.
That's what he proposed.
All right. We're here with Shasta County's District Attorney, Stephanie Bridget, and we're discussing the Navigation Center that everybody seemed to think that this was an idea that was moving forward with a detention center or whatever you
want
to call that.
Life center,
a combination
navigation
type
center.
Thing to help, you know, to get people off the streets and start getting them help, moving them in back into society, and at the same time helping us with the homeless and crime problem we're having, and the drugs and the problems we're having, and theft problems, and at the same time get them back on to back into society through a variety of different programs. And this one was kind of like it just ended on Tuesday. So this is the take I got. But we're going to take a break now. We come back, Terry, we'll get to you. And we want to discuss this, is the whole thing, you know, what was the responses to this? 8:31 in the morning, it is about 54 degrees out there. Chances of rain are there, you might say.
And the sun is shining through the window.
Sun shining through the window. And, you know, it never rains on rodeo. It never rains on rodeo. This portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been helping people since 1993. Veterans. She's got a special place in her heart for veterans. But she's been helping families, seniors, and business owners since then. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. If you're having a problem with your fire insurance still, you might want to give her a call, even if she's not your insurance agent, because she has got so much information, and she's going to be here next Monday talking about the single-payer health care system you're hearing about from the people running on the Democratic side, running for president, and the impact that will have on your just daily life. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back after these messages.
Nobody's heard about me. I ain't got to give me a fight. Can't you just let it be?
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown.
Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Well, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. In the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is 8:36 in the morning and about 54 degrees out there, going up to 56 today. Chances of rain, 10% now, maybe a little more later on. But today's ceremony for our fallen officers and our police and sheriff, our law enforcement officers, has been officially moved inside. So it'll be at the county courthouse. It'll be in the county board of supervisors chamber. So you don't have to go through you don't have to go take your belt off, your shoes, or any of that stuff. Just walk in.
Just walk in right next to the courthouse.
And our guest is District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, and who will be the keynote speaker down there. And obviously, you have strong feelings for our law enforcement, and we can't help but, you know, we have to remind other people too. When you get out, you've got investigators with your office that go out there.
I do.
And then, the probation department. And I know a couple of the guys that work there. I mean, they're unarmed, but they're out there with some bad guys too. And, you know, so there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that, you know, I urge people to do ride-alongs with the police so they can see what's going on there. If you are a concealed carry recipient or holder, they will not let you carry. But so I always ask, how do you get this shotgun out of here just in case? They usually look at me like,
I was going to say, did they tell you?
Depends on which one. Well, you know what? Hey, look, guys, I've been in more shootouts than you've been. I said, you know, if something happens, I don't want to sit here in the car, and, you know, with nothing but my holding on to my face right here while there's something going
on.
They
said, yeah, we understand, Colonel, but you're retired.
Yeah, you're retired. That's not going to happen. I said, really, I want to know, where's the long gun? I'm really good with that. Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Great place for Trish and Linda to hang out.
Best store in town.
Yeah, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Stephanie Bridget, and let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. DA Bridget, thank you for all you do for our community. I'm sure I speak for the majority of the folks in Shasta County. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We had a couple of times at the Patriot meeting, we have talked about the Navigation Center. The first time was with Chief Johnson. The last time was 2 weeks ago with Chief Johnson, the sheriff, and Under Sheriff McGreeny. A couple of the things that came up. One is that this whole thing stemmed really from a video, Seattle is Dying, that was put out of YouTube. The bottom line to all that was that drugs were the main problem. In fact, when they interviewed some of these folks that were in homeless camps, everyone they interviewed said everyone in the camp was on some sort of drug. Now, the deal is that their navigation center is going to hold, what, is it 60 beds or 120 beds? Which is it?
It's been proposed with many different amounts of bed, from 60 to 120.
the beds we had on our on the proposal were 60, 60. And then 120.
Yeah.
Now people can volunteer to go there. So you have somebody who maybe is a you know a low an offender that really isn't a high profile offender. He goes in, he gets help voluntarily. There's a bed. Let's say 30 or 40 people do that. All of a sudden, those beds are eaten up. But I know there's also a movement that is trying to get to the core of the problem, maybe the elephant in the room, and that is a 1 cent sales tax for a jail. We have around 300 to 350 bad guys, according to what we've been told by authorities that are out there that do a lot of bad stuff. And we can't seem to keep them in jail because there's no room to keep these guys in jail.
Right.
Now, if we had a bigger jail, we could take the bad guys off the street, maybe slow down the flow of drugs into the homeless, and then maybe get a handle on the homeless problem. And I think people would be for a sales tax for a jail only. When we asked the sheriff about how many beds, and one of our people proposed, well, how about 500 beds, he said that would never be enough. And they went back to the navigation center. What I think that the navigation center does, after thinking about it for a while, kind of just puts a Band-Aid on cancer, where the real cancer is drugs and those 300 people out there that are very much engaged in getting those drugs out to the community. So are we dancing around the elephant in the room here by doing this navigation center, or is it about the money?
Well, I definitely think that we need to have the money and the revenue stream to have a larger jail, whether it's increasing the jail that we have right now or continuing with this minimum security misdemeanor facility. Both are going to make a significant difference in our community. So, yes, that is a huge start to solving this overall issue that we have in our community.
Well, the thing is that we kind of should do, you know, if we were going to have money to do one over the other. There's also been some talk about the money we get from AB 109. Maybe you can clarify that for us. I know that you're on the board that watches over the money on that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So maybe and how much money did we get last year from AB 109?
Oh, I didn't bring those stats with me, so I'm not able to tell you exactly how much. But we do get a significant amount of money every year.
Would it be safe to say in the millions?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let's say it's the millions. So that money apparently is designated for certain things. Do we have control, or does the board who disperses the money have control over where those funds can go, or are you mandated by the state to put that money into certain things?
There is some mandate money from the state, and the board does decide on the rest, but it does need to go, and a lot of the money does go to our current jail, and a lot of money goes to our day reporting facility that we have for felony offenders and then some various other programs. But, yes, the board does have some discretion there in deciding where that money's going to go.
Is there money going for other things now that could be diverted by this board to more jail space?
Well, almost every year we've been diverting more and more money towards the jail. So we have been doing that. That's money that helped reopen the jail when we had a floor closed.
Right.
So it is helping and supporting the jail already.
Is there a percentage, just a rough percentage, you could give the folks on the amount of money that's discretionary? In other words, the amount of money that the board actually has jurisdiction over?
I couldn't give you, and I wouldn't want to give an inaccurate number at this point.
Well, how do we, because I think those numbers are important. I think Chris,
this is probably online.
It is. And the meetings are all
great.
Public.
Okay,
and
so how do people find that?
And the meetings are all public meetings. So, just get in there and just do some research on
Hey, Terry, we've got somebody else too on the line. So thanks a lot for your phone calls. Those are good questions. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Jesse, good morning. Do you have a question for Stephanie Bridget, or DA?
Yeah, for the DA on the Navigation Center.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on. You're on. You're live.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling. Kind of part of my issue is I've done the humanitarian thing for a while, up until the point where I had my property inundated with about 14 to 15 homeless encampments. I'm actually out in the city of Shasta Lake, and it took me threatening the city with a lawsuit in order to finally get these people off after getting threatened to be arrested for taking up all the tents and everything else on my property and the needles on my property with my backhoe. I think a lot of us, the problem is why we don't want to support any of this is we feel like it's just enabling these people.
I mean, there's businesses. I have multiple friends that have businesses that are completely having issues with even keeping their doors open because no one's visiting because of the homeless issues and the drug issues we're having. Of course, it's not just homeless issues. A lot of it's mental health, and a good majority of it is drug issues. A lot of us, to be honest, have stopped supporting the mission, and we want the mission to get out of town because we start having nothing but issues around the whole mission area. I can't even take my kids to a park that was once there. I can't even take my kids to the library without them seeing a guy with a shirt wrapped around himself exposing himself. I mean, at what point, when do we stop enabling people and we start trying to find a solution to the problem instead of keep enabling them, saying if we give them this and we give them this, this will help? What point do we stop giving them things to make them survive on their own?
Okay, yeah, hey, Jesse, thanks for that. Thanks for your phone call. It's a great question. It keeps coming up.
It's certainly hitting right at the core of the problem.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that the enabling concept is not going to solve the problem in and of itself. And that was one of the big reasons why myself and other law enforcement were not in support of just a navigation center coming into our community.
That's what brought Mike Johnson to the meeting that day, saying, I absolutely do not support this concept.
Right, because enabling in and of itself, for what we've seen throughout other communities, is not the solution. There needs to be that accountability. There needs to be that custodial piece. There has to be a lot of that going on, because there's a huge amount of people, homeless people in our community who don't want help. There are a lot that want help and need help and aren't committing crimes, people who live paycheck to paycheck and lost their job, and that's different. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the ones who are, on drugs and alcohol, leaving their needles in front of your businesses and in our parks and stuff like that. And a lot of those, I talk to our peace officers who are in contact with them, and they offer them rides to the mission. They offer them all this, and they don't want it because they don't want rules. They like their lifestyle. And those are the ones that it's going to take some type of a custodial situation in order to get that under control and get that change.
Well, we have to take a break here, but I'd like to go back and address, see how you feel about it. We have so many different groups out there just giving tents, bikes, clothing, hygiene products. Is there a way of controlling that? And I'll wait for that answer when I get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Why don't you head on down there? Because it's your neighbors there. And your neighbors are there making sure that your needs are being taken care of. Highly professional, personal service. Find out how Cornerstone Community Bank is moving local dreams forward. All of this at Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back with DA Stephanie Bridget and Trish Clark.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Mako is back with another great deal, giving your car that shiny new Mako makeover. They're having a tax time special. Get 33% off a standard paint package. Bring your tax refund to Mako and make that faded, scratched, and weathered paint job look great again at affordable prices. Get quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Mako accepts all insurance and offers financing OAC with interest-free loans for up to a year. Come in today for a free estimate. Mako, America's Body Shop, on Crossroads Drive or MakoReading.com. Uh-oh. Better get Mako.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Good morning, everybody. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. I was looking to make sure nobody else was called. Good. Because we have Stephanie Bridget with us. Trish Clark and I have Stephanie Bridget with us, the DA of Shasta County. One more time, I want to talk about the memorial service for our fallen officers. That will be at noon today. Be there about 11:45. And it's going to be in the Board of Supervisors chambers. And this is a way kind of to remember those who have given their lives for us. And thank God. It's been since 1991 that we lost our last officer.
Officer Perrigo.
It is so close every time. We've had officers wounded. Our chief of police was wounded in a shootout when he was on patrol. We've had other officers injured. We had one down in Anderson.
Anderson
took a round in the chest and won the award for the – won an award for being shot, you know, from the protective vest company or something like this as being one of the, you know, I don't know why would you, you know, it might be kind of cool to get an award. Yeah, I got shot in the chest and it worked type of award. But, you know, it's any time.
I'll pass.
I'm not going to sign up to try to win that award. But, yeah, that was close shot at close range, too.
You know, and here's another example. Door opens up, guy shoots him in the chest. The police with him. Took care of that. But this is something that just went in about a possible stolen car or something.
Stolen car in the parking lot,
knocked on the door, boom.
But these kind of ceremonies today, we need to do more of that to recognize and bring to people's attention the importance of our first responders and the respect that we owe them.
And I just got the announcement, not the announcement, but Sue just told me that every light on the Cypress Street Bridge, the blue lights, are broken. It's going to cost $30,000 to fix them. 80% of the Parks and Recs budget goes to fixing vandalism. And Stephanie, the last question I asked before the break was, we have got tons, or not tons, we have numerous organizations that still just keep giving clothing,
sleeping bags, hygiene, toothbrushes,
to people that are out there. I mean, Is there anything we can do to at least control it, or at least have them take ownership of it when we find things like that?
Yeah, we're seeing these community cleanups that are being done, which are amazing, and so many people putting time and effort in them. But we see the tons of tents and sleeping bags
that have never been opened.
Yeah, that are being pulled out of our rivers and our parks and under our bridges. And it's a real problem. We need to get that under control. And I get people who have a giving heart and want to give to the people in need. And I think that's a great thing. And I just really would like to see our community somehow come together and do that in a coordinated effort, because what we see and what we hear about is people going from one location to another location to another location day after day, picking up a tent, then another tent, then another sleeping bag. Or if their tent gets dirty, then they just walk away and leave it there and go walk down to the next facility that's going to give them a free tent. And we got to find a way to be able to still have that giving ability to people that are in need, because there are some people who are in need and need that. But it's got to do it in a coordinated effort so we stop the garbage that's accumulating in our lakes and our parks.
We need public announcements on a regular basis to tell people who want to give. We need some place for them to give that will be helpful and not just part of the problem.
Well, you know, and we talked about this. Why not take a warehouse downtown or whatever place, maybe at, you know, the Good News Rescue Mission or somewhere around there, and have everybody that wants to give go there. So it's kind of controlled. But, you know, somebody pointed out immediately, well, no, see, that's against the Constitution. If churches want to give away stuff, or the people of Progress want to give away stuff, or whoever, they can do that. You can't force them. You cannot force them into a place to give it out.
It's not a government solution. It's a public perception solution. Yeah. And the answer is to get the message to the people, the individuals. If you want to give, give where it will help.
Yeah.
And we've got to continue to repeat that message. You don't want people not to feel like they want to help and give,
right?
But giving things to them just at random is not helping.
I want to go back to the Navigation Center, which is what we kind of started with in the last four minutes. The Navigation Center that you briefed, the meeting that y'all had, a 2 or 3 hour meeting, came up again Tuesday. You briefed what had happened. Health and Human Services Director Donnell Ewart said that came up behind you, said it's off the table because he doesn't have the money or the money's not there. So where do we go to from here?
Well, we're continuing to meet. We did have another meeting yesterday to kind of discuss the change in the course of our trajectory at this point. But I do want to bring up that even though that announcement was made about the Navigation Center piece of this, there was an item on that came up right after that, and that was regarding the detention facility, the transitional rehabilitation facility. And the board did vote to go ahead and go forward with exploring what it would cost to remodel and revamp the annex and get that up to speed to still potentially go forward with the minimum security misdemeanor facility. So that is still going forward.
That's a plus. That's a plus.
Yes.
So we're talking about a minimum. This is minimum offenders. Putting them away for 60, 90, whatever their sentence is.
Yeah, get them off the street. Have a place to put them when, you know, Reading Police or Sheriff's Office or Anderson Police, whoever picks up these offenders, whether they be sleeping in front of a business or whatever other misdemeanor level crime, they have a facility that they can take them to that has room for them and is specifically made for those offenders to be at. Because our local jail is not big enough for that. We have enough of felony sentenced prisoners after AB 109 that fill that jail up.
But it is a way to hold them accountable and start them on the path, perhaps solving their problem.
Yeah, absolutely. What I think it's a great thing that we're still proceeding forward.
What we need is a 700-bed jail. That's it. 700 beds that will solve a lot of the problems.
But we can't just say, okay, we need a 700 KJ, and until we can do that, we can't do anything. This is a start. This is
no, and this is the thing. This is the thing that offended people.
Start.
This is the thing that offended people, I think, the most. Everybody really felt that we as a community was starting to do something, pushing the ball forward, at least taking steps,
right.
And then now we're stopped again. So, and no offense to anybody, but the meeting yesterday, somebody said it was 3 years out of his life, or 3 hours out of his life he'll never get back. I'm sure it wasn't that like that. Anyway, Stephanie Bridget, thank you so much. Today, everybody, remember, The Board of Supervisors, Chambers, please go in, and they're having our, we're having a ceremony to remember our fallen law enforcement. And please be there. Be there about 11:45. It starts at noon.
If you haven't been there, you just got to go, and it's incredible.
It's rodeo tonight. And we'll be tomorrow. We'll be at the pancake breakfast. Linda and I will be. And Linda
rain
is singing tonight. If you're not going rodeo, come on down to Wind River to Elements Lounge. And Linda's singing with her band down there. So we'll see you down there.